Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Well, praise God. Thank God we have so much to celebrate today. The very heart of everything, the very defining week of all of history. Praise God. Praise God for Him making that alive and real in our hearts. You know, I just pray and trust the Lord to guide my thoughts this morning. But I believe there's this one thing that the resurrection of Christ means. It's a new beginning. And maybe that's as good a title as any. Because we know that the very one who died on that cross is the one that the Father used in the beginning to bring forth the creation. The words that said, well, let there be light, let there be stars, let there be everything, came out of His lips. And we know that the human race was created in the beginning to rule in the image of God. It was a glorious plan. It was pure. It was perfect. There was no death. There was no suffering. There was none of the things that we see in our world. It was all there. But we know what happened, don't we? We know that Adam and Eve made a deliberate choice to reject what God had told them. The warning that if they partook of a particular tree, went down a certain road, that death would enter, and it did. And so we see the awful condition of the world. And yet what an amazing thing it is that we see a God who doesn't say, well, I'm done with that, wipe it out. But still reached out throughout the ages, reached out to human beings. Made Himself known. What could possibly cause such a thing? The very love that we've been thinking about and singing about. Thank God for that love. And so we know that God had a plan, didn't He? It was a plan hidden from the foundation of the world. The prophets didn't understand it. They saw bits and glimpses and gave out words that had their part in it. But we know that even the devil himself didn't understand what was unfolding that week, did he? Paul says that in so many words. Boy, the things that God revealed to Paul, I appreciate them so much. God did that so that we could have that knowledge today and walk in that truth and enjoy the reality of it. Thank God. But the devil himself was used of God to engineer his own defeat, thinking he was winning. He absolutely sealed the deal. And so I wanted to use a few scriptures that we're familiar with. I guess we're familiar with all of them, but I want to just kind of go through this in a sense step by step, because there was a new beginning. And shortly before Jesus went to the cross, there were some things that we have often pointed out in John chapter 12 that are significant. And first of all, we've recently referred to the scripture where Jesus replied in verse 23 of John chapter 12, "Now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into His glory." What an amazing statement when you think about what was going on and where He was headed. He was headed to a cross, and He says, I'm heading for glory. Wouldn't that be nice if we could see our own lives in that light and not be so self-absorbed and focused on what's wrong and what all the bad stuff, but see the goal? He saw the goal, and because of the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, the scripture says later. So anyway, then He gives us a principle that we've used many times. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. I didn't mention this. I'm reading the NLT this morning, in case you're wondering. Somehow I just felt a need or a desire to go back to that one. It's a paraphrase, but it conveys the thoughts. Praise God. A plentiful harvest of new lives. So that's what God was after in all of this. It wasn't just, man, I got to take care of that corrupted creation and get rid of it. It's, I'm focused beyond that. I've got a plan that's going to bring forth new life. Thank God. All right. Then he gives us a little perspective about what was about to happen. Those who love their life in this world will lose it. That's pretty plain statement, isn't it? Well, that's what the human race in general is all about. This is my life. I know what I want out of it. I'm living here. Don't tell me what to do. I got my own plans. I'm the Lord and God of my own life. Thank you very much. I want to tell you, based on the authority of the Son of God, anybody who makes that choice, your life will come to an end. There will be a time, and I'll explain this later if you want me to, but there will come a time when you will not exist. Your life, this is it. You better get what you can, because this is it. This is God's declaration. God's not going to tolerate what's going on in this world forever. Praise God. But what an awesome opportunity is opened. Those who care nothing, as expresses here, those who care nothing for their life in this world, that is, they turn away from it, they recognize that it has no eternal value, it's headed the wrong direction, living for this life produces death and everything is wrong with the world. And those who care nothing for their life in this world will do what? Keep it for eternity. What an amazing, simple contrast. There was something very decisive that happened when Jesus went to that cross. Now, Jesus said down in verse 31, the time for judging this world has come. Something we pointed out many times. The cross itself was a declaration of God's judgment upon a corrupted creation and everybody who insists on remaining a part of that. That's it. This is judgment day. Now, I realize there's an outworking of that, but boy, that ship has sailed. If you think there's any hope for this world, that's done. The train has left the station. God made a declaration that all the powers of hell cannot change. The time for judging this world has come, when Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. I'm well aware that most people use this to say, we need to lift up Jesus and he'll draw people. Well, praise God, that's true. Absolutely, he is the center and he is the message. But there's a deeper thing that he's talking about here. In fact, the sense of the Greek word there is, I will drag. What Jesus did when he went to the cross, he became the representative of a creation. This whole creation was drawn into him, and just as it was once in him, it returned to be in him. And when he died and the judgment was poured out upon him, it was the creation that he was representing. Praise God, is a simple but profound truth. And so, a new beginning, I guess, for the world, it's this is the beginning of the end. Its destiny has been sealed. God poured out his judgment, and the devil himself turned out to be the instrument of it. That's the level of what deception is about. You want to embrace the philosophies and the values of this world? Look at this and read it. This was a statement of the destiny of this creation. It was sealed when Jesus died. And everything that this world represents, this creation represents, wound up in a tomb. Now turn to another scripture we have used a time or two, and that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I believe. 2 Corinthians, okay, well, we're in the right book. Let's find the right chapter. All right. Now, Paul, one of the burdens of Paul that Paul had in this second book of Corinthians was that there were self-seeking ministries, so-called ministries that were going around and undermining and coming behind him, and he was having to deal with that, saying, look, God's given me this. I care about you, and I'm going to fight what's wrong because I care about you. And so, let's see where I want to pick this up. He says, no matter what I'm doing, either way, whether I'm bragging about, whatever I'm doing to absolutely deal with this situation, Christ's love controls us, verse 14. That's the motivating factor in everything I do. Even if I come against somebody, it's Christ's love because I want his will, I want your benefit out of all of this. Now, here's the truth that he conveys. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our own life. Now, the sense of that in the Greek is a little bit deeper than that. When Christ died, everybody died. You want to know how God sees this world? They're in a tomb, folks. That's the destiny of everybody. Everything pertaining to this creation is in a tomb. I understand there's a process of time that's working out. This is something hard to wrap your mind around, but that's how certain it is. Everybody died. If you're sitting here this morning, you're born into Adam's family. When Christ died, you died. The only question is, what next? Where do you go from here? Thank God that wasn't the end. Thank God that was a new beginning. Now, in verse 15, it says, he died for everyone. And you could put it this way, he died representing everyone. Okay? Now think about it this way. When Adam was created, and Eve, of course, was brought forth, the purpose was that there was a life in him that was capable of bringing forth a family. So in a sense, you and I were all there. It wasn't just, what happened to him didn't just happen to him, it happened to you and it happened to me. And that's why we partake of what happened back there in the garden. But something else is going on here. His representative. He is a representative. He died for everyone, so that those who receive this new life, his new life, will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. Praise God. We can celebrate the resurrection and just say, yay God or yay Jesus, but all of that was for you and for me. It was for you this morning. Now, what the picture is that he's painting here is that everybody dies, whether you want to or not. You died on that cross because your representative died, and the judgment that you deserved, and I and this world deserved, to get rid of the evil, it was poured out upon him.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.